You're listening to 90.3 Near FM. Northside today, Johnny here, and that was the Jacksons. Can you feel it? Now, as you know, we have a general election on the way. Polling day is Saturday, 8th of February next, and I'm now joined with Senator Catherine Noone. She's Fine Gael for Dublin Bay North constituency to tell us about her campaign. Good morning, Catherine. Thanks very much for joining us.
How are you?
Very good. How are you?
Good now. Busy.
Yes, I can imagine with a lot of canvassing going on. Catherine, absolutely. First of all, tell us, how does it feel for you to be selected to run for the next general election in Dublin Bay North?
It's always an honour to be selected by your party to run for a constituency. And, you know, it's a privilege for me to have the opportunity to represent, to potentially represent the people of Dublin Bay North. It's full on. It's a lot of work, but you know, we're really relishing the opportunity, and the team are out day and night trying to meet as many people as we can. So it's really good.
Excellent. And in your view, apart now from Brexit, what is number one priority for this country? What's the most important issue for us, you know, that requires urgent?
It depends who you talk to. Do you mean that I'm picking up on the doors or for me? Because it depends who you talk to. The economy is very important. And, you know, there's a certain people feel that maybe they take that for granted now, which, you know, if you look back 9 or 10 years, the economy was an absolute bit. So, you know, we really need to, I suppose, mind it, and everything stems from it. So all services, everything depends on a high functioning economy. And when we had cuts a number of years ago during the crash, you know, so many people were negatively affected. And I wouldn't ever want us to see us go back to that boom bust type of culture that has been a feature of Irish politics over decades.
Yes, but in your own personal view, what needs to be done immediately before anything else apart from Brexit?
In terms of services or things in the country generally, well, what's very important is housing, and we need to build as many houses as we possibly can. As you know, there is a homelessness crisis at the moment, and in many ways we are, you know, victims of our own economic success to a large extent, especially in larger cities and especially in Dublin. Lots of foreigners want to work here. Lots of people from all around the country want to work in Dublin. So there's huge pressure on the housing stock. And then put into the mix the fact that the housing sector was so broken only 10 years ago. So it's only in the last 2 years, really, that the government have had the money to invest in capital programmes fully. You know, there has always been some investment, but it's been much more intense since there has been more money available and since the books were balanced in 2018. So there's 11,000 social homes built last year, 11 will be built this year, and there's a plan to build 12,000 every year for the next 5 years. And that's on top of the building that is going on in the private sector. So really, affordability is something that comes up on the doors all the time, and it affects people who are on very low incomes, people who are on middle incomes, children of people that I speak to who can't afford to get on the property ladder. And until we have all of that housing stock increased, it's hard to see how the affordability will improve. So that's the number one priority, and it affects so many individuals around the city.
I understand. How do you feel about the excessive cost of renting in Ireland?
Well, it's all part of it, isn't it, Johnny? Because, you know, demand dictates the level of rent that landlords can get. And the reality is that, you know, there's a very low availability of units for people to rent, and thereby the price goes up. So there have been measures put in place, and very punitive measures more recently on landlords who, you know, before it used to be possible to do a relatively moderate renovation to a house and put up the rent. That can't be done now. You know, there's very heavy legal penalties for landlords who are disregard the law in that regard. So the law is very much favoured in favour of the tenants who are in properties. And, you know, but yes, the price of rent is is too high, and it's linked into what we just discussed about housing generally. Once there is more supply, which we anticipate there will be in the next number of years, a much greater amount of units available for people to either buy or rent, well, then I do believe that the rent will come down and will be more affordable for people. And we can't have a situation where rent is more expensive than actually buying a property, which is the situation at the moment. So, you know, that will be rectified over the next number of years.
Right. Apart from actual housing and homeless, there are now many, you know, in employment, but after paying their rent and bills, they have no funds left to feed themselves. They actually end up queuing on Dame Street for free meals from inner city feeding the homeless. Would you agree, Catherine, that we have become a country with a wider gap between the rich and the poor, with the middle class, you know, disintegrating probably?
Well, actually, the deprivation levels and poverty levels have very much reduced in Ireland over the last number of years, and there was a report in December that showed that, you know, statistically that what you're saying is actually, even though obviously there would be some people that are negatively affected and may have to do, as you say, but that the stats don't back up the fact that people are actually more so on the poverty line. They're not, you know, in actual fact, they're not, you know. So it's very regrettable that anyone would have to do that. The vast majority of people are better off, and the economy has never been stronger, and there are more people at work than ever before. But I do take your point that life is very expensive, so we need to do everything we can to bring down the price of rent in particular.
Okay, Catherine, what's your view on the HSE crisis, particularly in our A&E departments, like lack of beds and how it needs to be resolved?
It's very difficult, you know, and the health service over successive decades has been somehow a very difficult nut to crack for successive governments. We're treating more people than ever before. We have more doctors, more nurses, more primary care centres. You know, there has been a huge amount of investment in the health service, which makes it all the more frustrating for me as a public representative. Beaumont, which is in this area, obviously, capital expenditure has been allocated for a new A&E department, a new cystic fibrosis department, a unit, you know, 24-hour unit. You know, the waiting lists are the trolley waiting lists are unacceptable to me, and I regret that anyone would have to be any significant period waiting in A&E and on a trolley. But that will definitely improve the situation in this area of Dublin. And you know, the fact that more people are being treated in hospitals is a huge contributing factor to that. So it's not that, you know, the government has somehow neglected A&Es and, you know, the staff in hospitals have somehow neglected A&Es. It's actually a fact that there are much more people being treated. And there are some positives that need to be mentioned, you know, in the health service as well, like outcomes for people with serious cardiac, stroke, diabetes, a lot of those areas, the outcomes are so much better for people. 80-something percent of people, I think it's 86% of people when surveyed following a hospital admission would say that they have had a good experience in our health service. So we have a very good health service, but we have very significant challenges accessing it, you know, and that's really, you know, back to the numbers of people that are being treated. So I would hope in this area, in particular in Dublin, that, you know, or in Beaumont, that the fact that the A&E, you know, we badly need a new A&E. It's been looked for years. I've been pushing for it for the last number of years, as have others. And it will be provided very soon. The planning is in train for that, and the funds have been allocated in the capital programme. So I think that will see a significant improvement in this area of Dublin in particular when it comes to A&E waiting time.
Actually, you yourself had called for new methods and practices in treating alcohol-related admissions to A&Es. Tell us more about that.
Well, there are separate, basically, A&Es in some countries in the world whereby people who have consumed excessive alcohol literally go in there to be treated, so that people who go into the mainstream A&E are not delayed as a result of people who have, I suppose, you know, self-induced difficulties. Now, they absolutely should be treated, but somebody who arrives into the A&E at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning, perhaps, shouldn't have to wait an excessive period because, you know, somebody has been out drinking and, you know, perhaps overdone it and injured themselves somehow, or, you know, whatever happened to them, that they should be down the list from them. I would feel strongly that there should be a separate area. And also, if people are that intoxicated in A&E, you know, it's not very pleasant for other people who haven't been, you know, out socialising, whatever, to be in that environment, you know. So it has worked very well in other countries, and I think it's something that we should seriously consider for this country.
Okay. On a different note, Catherine, what's your view in relation to the cost of childcare and also the extremely low income for childcare workers?
Yeah, well, I'm children's spokesperson in the Senate, so it's an area that I take a lot of interest in, and I do a lot of work on. The childcare supports have increased 141% in the last number of years. We were the first government to introduce a children's minister. So before that, the children's department was in a back office in the Department of Health. So that showed a very significant focus on it. I've been one voice of a few in Fine Gael who have really pushed for extra supports for working families. I meet this all the time, and it's not only young people who bring it up, it's their parents who bring up how difficult it is to afford childcare. So there has been the new childcare scheme, the preschool years of support for families. So, you know, there has been successive incremental investment in childcare, which is actually helping families. And we need to increase this every year to support working families. You know, life is very expensive, and childcare is a huge expense for some families. It can be as much as a mortgage. So, you know, the supports that have been put in place are helping, but we need more. And to come back to your second question, with regard to the pay for childcare workers, I agree 100%. They're not paid enough. A lot of them go off and get educated and are on, you know, just a little bit more than the minimum wage. That to me is not acceptable, especially with the cost of living in a country like Ireland. There is a review group going on currently through the Department of Children with some international people on that to look at the issue of restructuring in the childcare area to allow for childcare workers to be paid more. And one of the things that, you know, I suspect will be looked at is the fact that if payments are made to childcare providers, that they're incentivized to pay their workers more. It's not acceptable that childcare providers would make, you know, money on the back of, not to say that that's what all of childcare providers are doing, but we want to see a direct correlation between the amount of support that's given to a particular childcare facility and the staff who are working there. There are already incentives for people to get educated, but people need to be paid properly, and we need to appreciate those who are educating and, you know, minding children. It's a huge part of their formative education, the exposure that they have to all of the various activities in childcare provision or in childcare facilities. And, you know, we need to really value the work that they do. And, you know, a straight answer to your question, are they paid enough? No, they're not. And does that need to improve? Yes, it does.
Okay. On another different note, how do you feel about polling day being on a Saturday? It's probably a good thing now, as many more might get out to vote.
I think it is. I mean, it probably affects Dublin people less. People who are voting perhaps in this constituency wouldn't make too much difference to them. The ones that it does make a difference to, particularly, are parents who would have otherwise had to take a day off or got childcare, to speak of childcare again, to cover them for their absence, you know, the fact that the schools usually had to be vacated for polling day. So I think it's a good thing for working families, and it allows students and perhaps people working abroad temporarily to come back. I mean, the one thing that I would like to see is a situation where if you know in advance that you're going to be away for polling day, you know, lots of people, I've met a few people on the doors in the recent weeks who are going skiing with their family or are going to be away, and, you know, they'd really like to vote. So once you know that you're going to be, you know, if you have 3 weeks when the election is called, if you in that time, it should be possible to arrange to vote when you're away, because a lot of people would like to exercise their franchise if they're away. So that's another related point that I think we should work on.
Absolutely. And speaking of which, how are your door-to-door visits going
for you? Very good. You know,
what kind of reaction are you getting from locals?
Mixed. Mixed reaction. You know, you get people who are very happy to interact, and are very, the vast majority of people are extremely welcoming and at worst very polite. You know, some people aren't interested, and that's absolutely fine. And other people are, you know, perhaps don't want to see at all. You know, it varies door to door, but overall, I would say 80% of people are extremely polite, and I have great conversations with people and really enjoy meeting people. And it gives me the opportunity as a first-time Dáil candidate in the area to tell people of the work that I've done, you know, that I've been nearly 9 years in the Senate, that I've done a lot of work on women's issues, on childcare issues that we've discussed, on childhood obesity in particular, and then locally the issues that I've worked on. And it's a very nice opportunity to interact. And when people are willing to chat, it gives you a great chance to win them over and potentially get their vote.
Okay. And Catherine, if you don't mind me asking, tell us, why should the public in your constituency vote for you above any other candidates? What gives you the edge?
I touched on it there. You know, I've been 9 years almost in the Shannons. I'm an experienced politician. I've worked on difficult national issues like the Eighth Amendment and others. And I bring a certain level of national experience to the table. I'm a progressive politician. I work hard locally and nationally. For a lot of females want to vote for a woman, and I think that's really important. You know, we need balance. We have a lot of male candidates on the ticket in this area, and men are excellent and I enjoy working with them, but you know, balance is good. So overall, I would say I have a presence in the constituency. I have an office at Sutton Cross. I live in Howth. You know, I'm around all the time, and I do think I would be a good public representative for the area. I think I'm somebody who will always respond to issues that constituents bring up with me and act where appropriate. And, you know, I think I'm good value for a number one vote.
Absolutely. Even so, there is a lot of anger out there, Catherine, you know, among the public, as you know, about the outgoing government, as seen on social media, and mainly due to the cost of rent, housing, homelessness, the HSC crisis and so on. But they want an overhaul. They want a change. What's your view on all of that?
Some people do. You know, certainly other parties and their supporters on social media do. And sometimes, and I know you're on social media as well, we need to remember that it's not actually that representative. It's indicative of how some people are feeling. But when you're on the doors, you don't get the same sense as there is on Twitter. You have to kind of remember that it's a bubble. And the one thing to be clear on is that, you know, there are issues. Absolutely. There's more that needs to be done. But the government have the plan and the team and the track record to build on that. And, you know, I think the Taoiseach's debate last night, you know, the leader of Fianna Fáil and the Taoiseach had, you know, as you know, had a debate last night. I think he was very clear. I think he shows, and something that comes up on the doors is that, oh, Leo doesn't seem to care, and that time that will come up on the doors. But I think he showed last night that sometimes he finds it hard to articulate his empathy, but that he is actually very empathetic in the actions that he does. And, you know, he has increased the minimum wage, you know, restored carers' allowances and many other measures that are really helpful to people's lives. So we have a tendency in Ireland to focus on the negative, and the issues need to be discussed. You know, we need to discuss the fact that the health services is struggling in some areas, and we need to discuss the very important issue of housing and how it is making people homeless. But there are, you know, we do have the strongest growing economy in Europe, and everything flows from the economy, and we can't take that for granted. And Brexit was extremely positive. We have a plan to get a good Brexit deal. We have a climate action plan where we'll have 70% renewable energy by 2030, you know, a plan for better jobs, housing, to build more jobs. So, you know, I understand what you're saying about comments on Twitter and social media. I get them on the door also, but that's not representative of you know, everybody's feeling. And change for change's sake is not necessarily a good idea. And, you know, if you're talking about, you know, the leader's debate last night and perhaps the leader of Fianna Fáil becoming Taoiseach, he's the same man who was in charge of the health service, you know, a decade ago. And he's the same man who was part of a government that brought us to our knees financially and has had successive boom and bust cycles. So, you know, it's not as simple as saying everybody wants change, everybody doesn't. A lot of people I meet tell me that they're happy and that they want us to continue our work, and they recognise the fact that we had a very difficult financial situation, which we were fixing for at least 6 or 7 years before we had the capital to invest in a lot of the projects that we would have liked to invest in, which we are doing now, and we've plans in so many areas to improve things for families.
Okay, right. So we're going to leave it at that, Catherine. Time has caught up with us. And thanks again very much for joining
thank
us
you,
today.
Johnny.
Always
thanks
lovely talking
much.
With you. And good luck in the general election, by the way, from
much,
all of us
Johnny.
Here at Near FM.
I hope you can give me a vote there. Thanks a million.
Thank you. All the best. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Now, that was Senator Catherine Noone, Fine Gael, Dublin Bay North. She was talking about her general election campaign.